And we came to the chapter 27 today. We are going to start this chapter from verse 1. So let's start from verse 1.
And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Medocian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself.
Okay. Last week, if you remember, Paul gave the testimony in front of King Agrippa, Festus, Bernice, and all those people. And they were so happy to hear what Paul was saying. King Agrippa even said, "Paul, you persuaded me to be a Christian." And so they wanted Paul to be free. But they said, "Paul asked us to, he wants to go to Rome. So we are going to let him go to Rome." And now they started a journey to go to Rome. And the centurion's name is given, Julius. And the other people, some soldiers and centurions, and they were people, almost 276 people were traveling in that boat or ship. Let's read the words.
And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us.
Okay. Aristarchus is a believer, and we studied about him when we were studying the book. This man gave almost his life for Paul, and now he is traveling in that same ship with Paul. I do not know how this man came there, but Paul calls him the fellow prisoners. So he was in that prison, or he came after, we do not know. But now he is traveling with Paul. And there might be many other people also traveling, but their names are not given. But now these people came, and this is their second day. And when they came to the shores of Sidon, and when they landed there, the centurion Julius was so gracious to Paul. And he said, "Paul, I'm setting you free. Go wherever you want to go, meet your friends, refresh yourself." Can you imagine? Paul is the prisoner. They might be bringing all these prisoners by chain. But now, this Julius, the centurion, was so pleased with Paul. When you show the Christian love to somebody, they are going to see Jesus in you. Amen. If you be nasty all the time, you're fighting for your rights, and you're trying to make people miserable, they are going to find out you are a miserable person. But the Paul, even though he was a prisoner, he was having lots of problems with all kinds of people, but he was faithful to God. And he knew that God is going to take him to Rome, because God said to him, "Paul, you witnessed to me in Jerusalem, you're going to witness for me in Rome." That's why Paul said, "I don't want to go to Jerusalem back. I want to go to Rome." And now when they're coming there, they saw Paul, something good in Paul. And so they were not afraid to let the Paul loose. Most of the time, people are afraid if prisoner gets loose. And everybody start having their doors and windows closed, and the announcement will come that prisoners are loose. But here the Paul set free. He said, "Go to your friends and refresh yourself." So Paul got a chance to go take a shower and maybe wash his clothes and meet the people. And what his refreshment was? Pray. Gather people together. Worship the Lord freely. Teach them about the word of God. And that was refreshment for himself. So when he got a chance, he went there and used the freedom for the glory of God. Verse 4.
And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein.
Even though they had some problem, wind was blowing against them, now they came and they found a ship going to Rome. So they were happy, let's unload from one ship to another, and now we are going to go to Rome. Let's see what happens. Verse 7.
And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.
Okay, now here Paul stood in front of those people, the centurion, and all the sailors and all other people. And he is trying to tell these people, you know, the wind is against us, and we are in a place called Crete and called Safe Haven. So they said, we are in a good place, let's stay here, and then when everything is calms down, we will sail and go to Rome. And he was giving a good advice. People start thinking, who is this guy? He doesn't know anything about traveling like this. They didn't know the history of Paul. Paul traveled all of these areas. He was familiar with this traveling and places. You know, in his testimony, he wrote many a shipwreck. Means many times he had this kind of problems. So he was familiar, just like you are driving in one snake road. So you will give advice to somebody, you know, be careful, this road is this and this way, you should not be going. So he gave the advice, we should stay here where we are, and then we will go further. But the other people thought, Paul is giving us a wrong advice, because this port is not suitable for winter, and we should not be listening to Paul. And so they didn't want to take the advice of godly men. We'll call the pastor for advice. They will ask all kinds of questions, and pastor's supposed to give them advice. Sometimes somebody will say, how do you know all of these things? What the word of God says, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us.
Amen.
God has given us wisdom, his grace, his power, and we can do everything by the power of God. So there is nothing impossible with the children of God. But the worldly people will not get the advice from godly people. He was giving a good advice. They didn't like his advice. Let's read verse 11.
Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul.
Verse 12.
And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete.
Okay. Now when they did not take Paul's advice, and they start sailing, and they start wind coming very softly, and breeze coming, they said, this is the time to sail. It's nice breeze coming, it's nice wave, Paul is wrong, we are right, let's go. And that's the way they started. You know, the enemy comes with a sugar-coated candy. The word of God says enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But we do not understand the enemy's trick. This enemy, devil, wanted to kill Paul and all the people with him. That was his trick. And he gave his advice to these people, and these people did not take his advice. And they start saying, what Paul knows, we know much better than Paul. And they did not take his advice.
But not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Eurosliden. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive.
Okay, now, very bad wind. And like a hurricane, like a swirling all around the boat. And these people were in trouble. Now the person who driving the ship, what do you call, the captain or pilot, now could not do anything. They could not see which way we are going. They didn't have that technology before. But now they are confused. They could not do anything but say, let's go. Let it go. Let the ship go wherever ship wants to go, and we'll go there. Now nobody's guiding, and let it go. And that's the way they started. Verse 16.
And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we much worked to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship.
Now they found out, we are not going anywhere, we are having a lot of problems. And do you know when they load the ship, they have lots of cargo. So much cargo they had, but now they are saying, we cannot survive, we want the ship to be light. So they start throwing everything, whatever they had. See, sometimes the things look so precious to you, but there is nothing precious than your life. Our life is much more better than the whole world. You keep the whole world one side and your life another side, your life's value is more than the whole world. You cannot be a billionaire, but just think you are dying and there is no hope. And somebody comes along and say, if you give me $1 billion, I can save your life. What that person would say? Take everything what I have. Give me life and heal me. So the life is much more precious than anything in the world. But people do not know. We have to know our life is precious in the sight of God. Okay, let's go further. Verse 19.
And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away.
Right. Now here, they threw everything, whatever they can. Now, they cannot see the sun. They cannot see the stars. That means pitch dark, and the wind, and maybe rain, and they have no way to go their way. Now they are just like going round and round and not going anywhere. So look at this situation. All these educated people, like a smart person, the best captain on the best ship, and everything is going well for them, but now there is no way out because now they are going in circle. At that time, not a single person said, hey, call upon Jesus. Let's pray, have a prayer meeting. Or let's do something that God can save us. You remember that Jonah was going other way. When God told him to go to Nineveh, he said, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to go to some other place. And he was in the ship. And the same thing happened. And they start throwing the cargo and everything, and nothing is happening. And they saw one man, bottom of the ship, sleeping. They called him and said, hey, what's happening? Why this is happening to us? And then he said, well, I know. I'm the one cause of this. If you throw me in the sea, everything will calm down. They didn't want to throw him, but they could not do anything but throw him out of the ship, and everything calmed down. Now in this ship, they didn't know what was happening, why this is happening. Only reason I could find out, they did not listen to Paul. That's the only good reason I can give. If they would have listened to the man of God, everything would be fine. So the lesson for us is, listen to the man of God. Sometime it will sound like foolish thing, but if you listen to the God and man of God, you will never go wrong. You have to listen to the word of God. And the man of God is trustworthy. If he's really doing the Lord's work, you should take his advice. Many times people do not take advice from man of God, and they get into so many problems and they suffer. I give advice to so many people. And not only advice, I give advice with a warning. If you don't listen to this would happen to you. And I can give hundreds of examples. Exactly if they disobey, exactly happen to them. So here Paul already told these people what's going to happen. They didn't listen. And now the problem came. They could not see the day. They could not see the night. And if that kind of situation you are in, you don't know what to do. Some people, you know, when they have lots of problems, they say, oh, when the day will come, I'll be better. And when the day comes, they say, oh, if the night comes, I'll be better. And the day and night, they suffer. But the people who call upon God and live for Jesus Christ, the word of God says, when the night comes, they will sound asleep. Day comes, they will wake up and praise God. So day or night for the children of God is okay. He says, if you are awake or if you are sleeping, if Jesus Christ is coming, you will be caught up. You don't have to worry if you are in Christ Jesus, day or night.
Amen.
We are in Christ Jesus, and we do not have to be afraid day or night. But these people were confused. They don't know where the day is and where the night is, and what the life is so miserable. Without Christ, life is miserable. Okay, verse 21.
But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship.
Okay, now Paul giving a second advice. He says, people, I gave you advice, you didn't listen to me, and now this much problem came, and we lost so much cargo, so much time, and now I am begging you, I am requesting you, now be happy. Don't cry, don't weep. People might be so much in trouble, people might be very depressed and maybe crying or weeping. He said, cheer up. Be of good cheer. destruction will come to the ship. Now nobody will even believe what this man is saying. If the ship is broken, how are you going to survive? But he says, ship will be destroyed, but all the people will be saved. But this time, they are listening to him. Let's read verse 23.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve.
Okay, now he's saying, not this time, I'm not telling this. The angel of the Lord came to tell me, and that God I serve, that's the same God sent the angel to warn me and tell me what's going to happen. So he says, the God told me that ship is going to be destroyed, but not a single soul will be lost. And what he said, let's read the verse 24.
Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.
Okay, now God is already confirming to Paul. Paul, I told you are going to go to Rome. You are going to take all these people, and all of these people, all of these souls, I'm going to give it to you. All these people under this centurion. And all the soldiers were controlling them. Now he says, now you are going to control them. You take care of these souls. In another way, all these people are going to get saved. When you say, I give this soul to you, means what? These souls are going to get saved. So don't you worry. Tell these people, everything will be fine. When Paul was in this boat, God says, now I'm giving these souls to you. And no harm, no danger could come to them. Okay, verse 25.
Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.
Okay, now again he's saying, be of good cheer. God, what he told me, I believe in that God, whatever he said, exactly is going to happen. If Paul did not believe, he could not give the message to others. So what I'm trying to say, first of all, you have to have faith in God, then you can develop somebody's faith. If you don't have faith in God, you cannot keep on telling other people about God. I told you, one day I went to one church, the man used to smoke. And he was smoking, and he smoked until the meeting started. It's a long story, but I'm cutting it short. And then he came, went to bathroom, put the spray, and cleaned his mouth, and preached there. What was his message? He says, there is nothing impossible with God. Now, this person is smoking. His life is miserable. He's bound to the demonic things, and he's telling other people there is nothing impossible with God. I took him aside when the meeting is over. I said, sir, is that message for you or this message for the audience? He got the message. I said, sir, you cannot tell somebody what you don't practice. You have to believe in God. You have to believe that there is nothing impossible with God. Why do you smoke? Then he started giving these. You know, if Jesus Christ is in you, he will satisfy you. Our God is what? All sufficient God. Amen. When you have Jesus Christ, you don't need smoking, drinking, and all other things to make you happy. Amen. You have to have Jesus in you. So St. Paul says, I believe in God. I trust in him because he heard my prayer time and time again. So I believe that same God, what he said, he will do exactly what he said. Verse 26.
Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day.
Okay, now as they're sailing, they start finding the depth of the sea is getting lesser and lesser. So they knew some rock is coming, some sand. So they said, okay, put the anchor here. Here is no water too much. We are going to be here and we'll be okay. And that's what they were thinking, to stand still right there. See what happens. Verse 30.
And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they that had let down the net, the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.
Okay, now what these people are start thinking, now water is shallow. Instead of staying in the ship and dying, it is better to just jump out of the ship and just swim and be okay. He said, oh, no, 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 no. Centurion, you're wrong. Captain, you're wrong. Don't do that. If you do that, you're going to die. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. When God knows what he's doing, if he told me that everybody is going to be safe, stay in. Everybody will be safe. Sometimes, you know, when you see a hurricane or something like that and your house is falling apart, what do you do? Don't go on the street. They say go in the basement, go under the somewhere, the strongest place, and be there. If you start running out, you'll be having much more danger than wherever you are in. And so he said, stay in. Let's go further. Verse 32.
Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing.
Okay, now Paul is saying, now this is our 14th day. Now we saw the sun. There was no day, no night, nothing, darkness. Now we're seeing sunshine. Be happy now. Up to now, you didn't eat anything. They were not praying 14 days. They were scared. When you are scared, you lose your appetite. And that's why some people get skinny or some people get fat. You might eat so much or you might not eat anything. And so they were not eating anything. And now if you don't eat anything, what happens? You don't have strength. If you don't have strength, how are you going to help each other? So he said, you people, start eating something so you will have strength. And nobody had the courage to eat something or do something. So Paul gave an example. Let's read verse 34.
Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any.
Now Paul said, listen, this food you're going to eat like a nourishment or health to your body. When you eat food, you're going to be strengthened. So when you take your food in your plate, what do? Pray over it. Say, Lord, what I'm eating, I want you to sanctify this food, nourish my body, give strength for your service and for your glory. If God blesses that food, he blesses your water, you will be fine. Okay, verse 35.
And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat.
Now, Paul took a courage, took a bread, prayed over it in front of all of those people. He didn't care those people will make fun of him or whatever. He prayed and then he ate himself. That gives us an example. You are in the restaurant, or you are in the picnic, or you are in your office break, lunch break, and if you are sitting there, don't be shy to pray for your food. Be courageous. If Paul could pray in front of his enemies, we should give an example. Other day we took our relatives, they came from New York, and we took them to a restaurant. And when we gave the order, and so they have to cook the fresh food. While they were giving the food, I started giving a Bible study. And my wife got so nervous, she said, what these people will say? I said, I don't care what these people think. If the food is not here, I have to eat the spiritual food. And I start giving the Bible study to children, and people start listening. And when the food came, they put some food in front of us. I said, before the other food comes, I'm going to pray over this, so children, you can start eating. And we prayed and blessed the food. What I'm trying to say, wherever you go, don't be ashamed to pray for your food in front of other people. Paul did it, we can do it, and some other people will get the message that when God gives you something to eat, you should be thankful to God. Why in some country people are dying without food, and every year they have famine, and every year America or Britain or some other country keep on pouring the food in those countries. Why year after year they have problems? You know why? Because they don't have God. I heard the story about the African believers. They said when the message came to our town, we believed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we said, Lord, we are going to sow in this land. Just like Isaac sowed in the famine, and he got 100-fold in return. So they said, we are going to sow in this land. And they got I don't know how many acres land they sowed it, and they prayed. And they said the rain came, and just in our area and all other area, there was no rain. They said, we believe Jesus Christ, and now our town is blessed. Look at about Uganda. There was a president called Idi Amin. That man was a devil. He was a horrible man. And when I saw him, he looked like a bulldog or maybe a bull. And I said to my wife, this man will not even finish his term. He will out up his business, and some good man will come, and one day they will be Christian president. Today, we have in Uganda a Christian man, and they are saying their country is blessed. So when the people are suffering, why are they suffering? Because they are ashamed of God. They don't want to pray. They don't want to tell other people who God is. God has blessed America because America was a Christian country. Amen. That's what we are blessed. And so we have to show people, as I said, wherever you go, don't be ashamed. Preach the gospel, tell the truth, pray for people, do the things which you do according to the will of God. And they are going to see Jesus in you. We don't go to some places and float with others. Go somewhere and show Christ in your life.
Amen.
Okay, verse 36.
Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat.
Amen. Finally, they cheered up. Hey, let's rejoice. Let's be happy. Doesn't matter what happens. Now we are going to follow what Paul says. And they were all happy. See, God makes you happy. The situation was not changed, right? They were still in danger zone. But they start rejoicing in the Lord. Okay. Verse 37.
And we were in all the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea.
Okay. Now they're saying 276 people are there. They had enough food. Now they say, we don't need some other stuff. Because we are going to take care of our life right now. The ship is going to be destroyed. So you cannot carry wheat or food or anything. Whatever you can eat, eat. And that will be good enough for you to survive. And they took a council Paul, and they start throwing the stuff. Verse 39.
And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves.
Okay, now see what happens. These people were in the same place, safe place. They said, now let everything loose. Let's go to the flow. And they start going. And now what happening? Two seas meet in one place. Can you imagine how much force of the water will be there? And now ship might be going around and around. But this time, nobody's complaining. This time, nobody's angry at Paul. And this time, they knew, now this ship is going to be destroyed. We have to trust what the man said. And we will listen to him. Whatever advice he gives to us, we will be safe. Let's read. Verse 42.
And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land.
Okay, now people start thinking, you know what? We are all the prisoners. And if we let the prisoners go, what are we going to tell the Roman government? So we don't want this prisoner to be loose. So some soldiers ask, let's kill everybody. So all the soldiers will be killed. And then we have no problem. But the Julius, the centurion, said, oh, we cannot do that. I want to save the Paul's life. But if you save one person and kill another person, it will be crime. So he said, if I want to save Paul, don't kill anybody. And let's tell the people, if somebody knows how to swim, jump and start swimming. And other people, if you don't know how to swim, just hold on to the wood. So take the log and sit on it or hold on tight to the log. You will not go down the drain. So he said, we'll advise these people to do that and we will be all safe. And so Paul gave the advice, don't do that. And then let's read the verse 44.
And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
Amen. They escaped all safe and came to the land. That means whatever God said to Paul, it came true. When you trust in the Lord, exactly what God says exactly happens. Bible is the only book tells the truth. God says, I tell the things thousands of years in advance, then it fulfills. Isaiah started prophesying about birth of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and suffering of Jesus Christ. That still took 800 years. So if God would have said to Adam, Savior is coming, and Cain was born and Savior come, it won't be that dramatic. You understand? So our God tells the future. So our Bible is the true word of God. And our God is the true God. Whatever he says, he does. And Paul saved all of these people, 276 people, without harm, they landed to the shore. Now next week, God willing, we are going to see where they landed and what happened to them. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study about Paul's journey. Thank you, Lord, how you helped him, guided him, giving him vision, speaking to him, rescuing them without harm and without danger. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. And give us the same courage to tell the whole world our God is greater than any other God. You have started a good work in us, and you are going to complete it. Give us grace to reach out to somebody who do not know the real God. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.